We're holding on for
Press Ahmed Bey's 13 lines from the bottom. The Gemara says, Eifa Toni Shavuos Bey Rabba. Eifa, that was his name, he learned Masechta Shavuos in the yeshiva of Rabba. Pogabe Avimi Achuha. Then at one point he met up with his brother Avimi. The two of them, the Gemara mentions elsewhere, the Gemara called, they were the sons of Rachva from Pumbedissa. The Gemara calls them elsewhere Harifi de Pumbedissa, the sharp ones, the sharp Tamid Chachamim of Pumbedissa, and as we'll see from this discussion over here, why they deserve that name, because they had a very sharp discussion in Halacha that, where very subtle differences that make a big difference to the Halacha. So Avimi asks Eifa, now that you learned the Sechta Shavuos by Rabba, you must be thoroughly familiar with all the concepts. So let me ask you, let me test you on something. Or maybe he's asking him sincerely, maybe he's asking him the question because he generally doesn't know, or maybe he's asking in order to test him. Anyway, so he asks him, suppose a person says, Shavuos shalei achalti, Shavuos shalei achalti mahu. So a person were to say a Shavuos that I didn't eat, and again a Shavuos that I didn't eat. What would be the din? Would he be chayav? If these are false shavuos, would he be chayav one korban or two? Now, we learned previously, ein shavuah chalal shavuah. So, Eifa took the figure that means that he's chayav only one. Amalei ein chayav alachas. So Eifa says that would mean he'd be chayav only one. Amalei, but Avimi tells him, no, it's shabshas, you're making a mistake. Harei yotze shavuah l'sheker, because the shavua already was a false one. When would we say that ein shavua chalal shavua would mean when it comes to shavuos for the future? So like we learned previously, a person were to say I won't eat this bread, and again he says I won't eat this bread, then we can't be mechayiv him for the second shavua. We can't be mechayiv him a korban for the second shavua because of ein shavua chalal shavua. But over here, when we're talking about shavuos in the past, then yes, each shavua was a separate thing, and the first one already went, and now the second one stands by itself, so there's no reason to papter him for the second one either. So if it was b'shergig, he wouldn't necessarily be chayav a korban, because like we said before, then that would mean that he was it wasn't ha'odam b'shavua. He wasn't aware when he made the shavua, and that wouldn't necessarily be mechayav him in the korban, but he would be chayav b'mezid for shavuos shav for two of them. Okay. Then Avimi says, here's another question. Shavuos shel ochel teisha. Suppose a person says a shavuah that I won't eat, that I won't eat nine figs. That shavuos shel ochel teisha v'eser. He says a shavuah that I won't eat nine figs, and then another shavuah that I won't eat 10 figs. Now, if he eats 10 figs, behelam echad. So in other words, he forgot. So he forgot until after he had eaten 10 of them. Now what would be the din? And by the way, I mean, even though usually we learned before, shavua to not eat means a kazayis, but here where he specifically said nine, then he's not going to be chai, it's not going to be considered that he was over on his shavua until he actually ate nine of them. But anyway, now there were two shavuas that I won't eat nine, another one that I won't eat 10, and now he ate 10, all behelam echad, so now what would be the din? So Eifa answers, chayv akolach savachas is going to be chayv individually for each shavua. Because now you can't say, now it's not a matter of, it's not shavuos for sha'ova, which you just pointed out to me that there you don't have this din of in shavua chalal shavua. We're talking labba, we're talking for the future, and the shavua to not eat 10 is not included in the one of not eating 9. So therefore the second one has room to be chal. In other words, it's chal on the 10th, and therefore on the face of it, it's chal on the previous 9 as well. And again, Amalei, Avimi tells him, Ishtabshus, you're making a mistake. Itesha loy ochel, esu loy ochel. If once he's not allowed to eat 9 of them because of the first shavua, he's not going to be able to eat 10. Because in order to eat 10, you have to go through 9. So now you can't be mechayev him for the second shavua. The second shavua can't be chal because it's impossible for him to eat 10 without eating 9. So you see a misunderstanding. He says to Eifa, here you've spent all this time learning Masechta Shavuos in Rabba's yeshiva, but you still have to realize these kinds of logic. All right. Avimi asks another one. What about the other way around? Shavuos shelo ochel eser v'teisha mahu. What about the other way around? First there was a shavuah to not eat 10, and then there was a shavuah to not eat 9. What would be the din? Eifa says, ein chayv al achas. Well, based on the logic we said before, he should be chayv for only one shavuah, because the second one is included in the first one. Ein shavuah chalal shavuah. And again, omalei, so again, Avimi tells him, ishtabshas, again, you're making a mistake. Because the first shvuah was on 10. Esahu deloy ochel hatesha miha ochel. At the point of the first shvuah, he's saying that he won't eat 10, implying, but he could still eat 9. So the second one is able to be chal, because now he's asking himself in something that he would have been mutter in until after the first shvuah, he would have been mutter to eat 9, and now he can't. So there is room for that second shvuah to be chal. So his mistake, various mephoshim talk about exactly what his mistake was. In the previous case, he adds the tenth one, and therefore that's enough to ask the tenth one separately, and therefore all 9, and then Avimi is pointing out to him again that you need to eat 9 in order to reach 10, and here it's the other way around. So the Kosei Yeshuas gives an explanation that he had learned from Rabba a case like this involving 9 and 10, and he misunderstood which one he's going to be chayev separately for and which one not. So in this case, he had said a shvur that I won't eat 10, and at that point, he would be perfectly mutter to eat 9, because again, even if we say chatzi shir osim and atorda, when he's saying 10, means to eat 10, the shvur doesn't kick in by him defining it as a shvur not to eat 10, means in other words that he would be mutter to eat up until that point, until he reaches 10. The Ramban puts a little differently that usually, shalai ochel means a kazayas, but that's when he's saying, for example, this loaf of bread. But when he's saying in general, I won't eat loaves of bread, then it means however many he specified, and in this case it would be 10 or 9 respectively, and therefore it would mean he's only also to eat those number and not fewer than them. But now, again, Avimi tells him, when he made a shavuot to not eat 10, at that point he would have been mutter to eat 9, and so now when he makes a shavuot not to eat 9, then it will be chal. However, Omer Abaya, but Abaya says, you know what, Eifa's not so wrong after all. Zimnin de mashkachas lo lahod Eifa. Sometimes you can, in fact, find that Eifa's last statement is correct, that if he is a shavuot not to eat 10, and then a shavuot not to eat 9, that there will be a way of making that work, of making that din correct. Which, in fact, that could be the source of Eifa's mistake, is that he generalized from that particular case to other cases. Namely, Abaya says, namely, like what my Rebbe said. Abaya's Rebbe is Rabba, so this is the same Rabba that Eifa had been learning in his Beis Medrash. So Abaya says there is in fact a case that Rabba said that bears on this, and apparently then Eifa incorrectly generalized from it. Namely, de Omer Rabba, so Rabba says a din, if a person says, shvur shla echol te'enim v'anobim, a person makes a shvur that I won't eat figs and grapes, and that means he won't eat them on the same day, but in other words, he's mutter to eat either one individually, then he says a shvur alone that I won't eat figs. So then, v'ochol te'enim, if now he ate figs, so now he's now he ate figs v'shoigig, now he's chayev for breaking his second shvur, v'hifrish korban, he designated a korban for the purpose, v'achakach ochol anovim l'chudayu, and then afterwards he ate grapes by themselves. So now, he did eat the grapes and the figs on one day, but in between, he knew that he had done wrong, and he had designated a carbon for it. So therefore, so Rabba said, at this point, therefore, the grapes are considered a chatzi shir. The chatzi shir lo mechayev of carbon. And a chatzi shir, you're not chayev of carbon for. Even if we say like Rabbi Yechanan, chatzi shir, also in Torah, there's no carbon or mezid malchus or anything like that for it. So now Rabba having said that, then therefore we can say in a similar way over here, Hochanami. So the same way over here, we can find the case where the person says a shavua that I won't eat ten, and then another shavua that I won't eat nine, and like this Eifa had said he'd be chayev for only one shavua. And then Avimi tells him no, because the shavua for 10 still allows room to make another shavua for 9. Well, Sabaya says here also, when you consider this matter of the figs and grapes, you can find a similar case. Hochanami, so similar to the Yuk, going to Amar Shavua Shala Urchal Eser, he makes a shavua that I won't eat 10. Then he said another shavua of 9. So far we said if it was just that, then we had eight for thinking that the second one is not able to be chal, and Avimi telling him that it can. But suppose that the ochal teisha again. Let's say he ate 9, and now with that he was over on a second shvur, the hifrish korban, and he designated a korban for it. And then he ate the 10th one. Havlo asiris chatzis shir. So the same thing. Then the 10th one by itself is a chatzis shir. Chatzis shir lemechayev, and he wouldn't be chayev, and he wouldn't be chayev a korban for chatzis shir. So in other words, the point is that the setting aside the shavua, the setting aside the carbon, causes things to break up, and now the two things don't combine together, and therefore one of them is only chatzi shir. So in other words, we can say that Eifa incorrectly generalized from that to think that the same thing would be true as far as the 9 and the 10, But the difference is whether he designated the korban in between. Okay. I mean, there is well points out in the previous case as well, where he made the shavua of the 9 and then the 10. The Gemara could have found a way in which Eifa's case works also. He has ten loaves of bread in front of him. He says, I won't eat these 9. And now when he says the 10th one, then it means that definitely that includes one that wasn't also before. The Gemara didn't bring that because it's poshut, and Abaya's point, we have Kedushim in it. Abaya's point, quoting from Rabba, that when he designated an animal for the korban, then that's considered to break things up, and that the figs and grapes are considered each one by themselves a chatzi shir. We don't say, in other words, yesterday we had a whole complicated case involving a t'nai and an isur. We had where he says, if I eat this, then I'll be also in that. And then scenarios over there, when he's chayev and when he's potter. So Abaya wants to tell us in this case over here, with the figs and the grapes, it's not like that. Now, this is all according to the girsa that we have in front of us, which is Rashi's girsa. Tosfos points out there was in older Kisvayad, there was a different girsa that he made. So the girsa we have in front of us over here again is first the first shvur was not to eat figs and grapes, meaning both of them on the same day, and then the second shvur was just not to eat figs by themselves. Tosfos brings the older girsa was the other way around. The first shvur was not to eat figs, and the second one was not to eat figs and grapes. So Tosfos discusses that Rashi had questions on that girsa, and therefore he doesn't like it. But Tosfos points out there's a different Gemara where we see there's a different Gemara in Nedarim where it brings this point as well. It's clear from there that it has to be the way that original girsa, that the first shavua was on figs and the second one was on figs and grapes. So Tosfos explains that. when it comes to the ten, in other words, he has a pile of figs in front of him, let's say, or a pile of figs or a pile of loaves of bread or whatever, and any ten or any nine of them are going to be subject to the issur over here. You have to begin with when he makes a shavur. If we're saying the first shavur was on figs, then grapes were completely not included at all, and no matter how many grapes he eats, he could never be over on any issur. So therefore, we can say that now when he makes a second shavur on figs and grapes, then there's reason. Then there's room for it to be chal, and once it's chal on that, then it's chal again on the first one as well. So we can justify that. We can justify that girsa as well. And in fact, the Rambam, when he brings this halacha, the Rambam brings it in accordance with the way that in accordance with Tosfos's girsa and. As far as the 9 and 10 part, he explains that the Ravid disagrees on the 9 and 10 part because he understands it differently. The Kesef Mishnah explains basically that the Rambam and the Ravid are basically they're arguing about about exactly that. What exactly is the girsa? What exactly is the correct girsa in the Gemara over here? So here, the Rambam says, for example, about the 9 and 10, he made a shavur, not to eat 10. Then he said that he won't eat 10 and 9. So the Rambam understands the second shavur is not just mentioned in the number 9, it's also mentioned in the number 10. So in other words, 19. So now if he ate 10 and set aside a korban, then 9 would be a chatzishir. And then the Ravid disagrees and says that no, we're talking about 10 versus 9, not 10 versus 19. So the Kesef Mishnah explains that Rambam had a different girsa, and as far as the figs and the grapes, also it comes out that he was following Tosfos's girsa, the original girsa that he had in the Gemara, which Rashi changes rather than the one that Rashi prefers, which is what we have in all Gemaras. Okay. Having talked throughout this perek about shvuas bitui, the cases where a person is chayav a korban for the shvua for a false shvua. So again, you had at the beginning of the perek we said shayim shein arba. You can have a shvua that I will do or I won't do such and such, and he violates it, or shvua that I did or I didn't do such and such, and it turns out that it was not true, which we talked about the other day, that the shogeg in it to be mechayev and makorban would have to be that he wasn't aware that that's mechayev and makorban. So now you also have, there's the concept of shvuas shav and shvuas sheker, and so now our Mishnah is going to talk about that. Shavuos Shav and Shavuos Sheker, you have Yisurim in the Torah not to do it, but there's no korban involved for those. The korban is strictly for Shavuos Bitui. So the Mishnah says Ezri Shavuos Shav. So what is the definition of Shavuos Shav? Nishba L'shana says Yadua La'adam, if he swears to change something which is known to people. For example, Omar al-Omar shal Evan Shur shal Zahav. So for example, he says about a stone pillar, he swears on it that it's gold. Now everybody knows that it's stone, so that's a false shvua. Another example, Vala Ishu Isha, or he swears about a man that's a woman, Vala Isha Shehi Ish, or about a woman that it's a man. So everybody knows that it's not so, so therefore that's the definition of a shvua shav. So you have within that also, you have what about when a person, so you can have a person makes a shvur, so now you can have the case, what about a person makes a shvur about that it is what it is. So for example, he swears on the stone pillar that it is stone. So that would also be a shvur shav. However, that I'm not explained based on the Gemara, as we're going to go on to say, that it means that only, that it means if three people know of it. So if you have three people know that this stone pillar is in fact stone, then it would be considered a shvur shav. So the Mishnah doesn't mention that point, but Pharisee Yisrael says, in fact, it's a posh of the thing. So we're talking about the other way around, where he tries to change it. Yeah. The Yerushalmi also actually says clearly that it's a shvuas shav. So fine. What about Nishmal Dabar Shei Efshaloi? What about a person makes a shvua on something which is impossible? For example, a person makes a shvua if I did not see a camel flying in the air. Now we're talking about that. As the Gemara is going to say, that we're talking about, he's saying that all the payrus in the world should be also to me if I didn't see it. So in other words, he's making a shvur and making it depend on something which is impossible, because there's no such thing. There's no such thing as a flying camel. Or imlo yisi nochash kekoras beis habad. Or another example would be if he says that all the payrus should be also to me by a shvur if I didn't see a snake like the beam of an olive press. And we'll see in the Gemara what's special about the beam of an olive press that it's impossible. So now, when it comes to the camel, the Gemara is going to point out there could be, so for example, a big bird, and he nicknames it a camel. Nevertheless, we're saying that doesn't work. And in the case of the snake, you could say, as the Gemara is going to say, we're talking about the specific shape or the specific configuration of the back of the snake, and the point is that there's no such thing. So those kinds of things would be an example of Shavua Shav. Another example, which is going to bear on the Shavua Se'edus, which we're going to start learning in more detail in the next parak, so you can have a case. Omala Edim Boyu Bahayiduni. A person says to Edim, come and say Edus on my behalf. And they answer him, Shavua Shaloyne Idecha, a Shavua that we're not going to testify on your behalf. Now, in other words, you have the Shavua Se'edus that we're going to learn about in the next parak, is where they say, we swear that we don't know that we don't know this Eidus for you. So that would be the case. The Torah says, then they're chayav a korban when it turns out that they were lying. But here, to begin with, they say a shvur that we're not going to say, that we're not going to say Eidus on your behalf, meaning we know the Eidus, but we're not going to. Well, then they're making a shvur to be mevatel a mitzvah, and they can't do that. So that's also an example of a shvur shrov. So more generally, nishba levatel a mitzvah. A person makes a shvur to not do a mitzvah. For example, he makes a shvur shalei lasa sukkah. He makes a shvur not to make a sukkah. Strictly speaking, making the sukkah itself is not really the mitzvah. The mitzvah is sitting in the sukkah. So in fact, the Avnei Nezer learns, in fact, that the Mishnah may be implying over here that to a certain degree, there is a mitzvah in doing a sukkah. We don't make a bracha on it because the Rambam formulates the general rule. When we have a mitzvah, that's a prerequisite for something else, then we wait until we do the actual final mitzvah, and then we make the bracha. So in this case, we don't make the bracha on building the sukkah. The purpose of building it is to sit in it, so we make the bracha when we sit in it, but nevertheless there is a certain degree of mitzvah in building a sukkah. So now, if he says that I won't build a sukkah, if he swears that he won't build a sukkah, then that's a shavua shrub. Shalai lit a lulav, he says that I won't take lulav. Shalai laniach tefillin, he says I won't put on tefillin. So all those examples would be a shavua shrub. Now, for example, you do have, and we talked about this previously, that he could make, for example, a shvur that I won't eat matzah ever, and then that includes also Pesach, and such a shvur would be chal, because the rest of the year there's no mitzvah to eat matzah, so therefore such a shvur would take effect. But here where he says things that are specifically in and of themselves a mitzvah, then he can't do that. So the Mishnah says, Zuhi Shavuos Shav, Shechayovin Az Doinim Makas, Val Shigigasa Potter, this is what we mean by a Shavuos Shav, where if he makes it a shavur b'mezid, then he's going to be chayav malchus v'ashig gosa potter, and if he does it b'shoigig, then he's potter. So you want to know what are examples of shavur shav? There's examples of it. Earlier in our parak, we dealt with why the Mishnah says zuhi. What is it trying to exclude by that? We talked about shavur for the future. We talked about shavur of other people doing things, etc. Fine. Now, the Mishnah continues, what about Shavua Sha'oichal Kikerzu? What if he makes a Shavua that I will eat this loaf of bread, and then a contradictory Shavua, Shavua Sha'loichla, now Shavua that I won't eat it. So then, Harishonah, Shavua Sbitri, so now the first one is, a shvuas bitui, meaning the kind which now if he violates it, he's going to be chayav a korban. Vashniyah shvuas shrov. The second one is a useless shvur, because now once he swore to eat the first one, once he swore that he's going to eat it, then he has to eat it. So now if he doesn't eat it, then he's over on that. But now when he says a shavur that I won't eat it, then that second shavur can't be chal because it contradicts the first one, and he's already besworn to eat it. Tosfos actually wonders, though, that we learned earlier in the perek, we had what Rava is saying, that when a person says, im oichal, then it means that he has to eat a kezias, and oichlena would mean that I'll eat the whole thing. So Tosfos says there might be a difference between a shvur, sh'oichal, that I will eat, versus sh'loi oichal, that I won't eat. There might be a difference. When he says we have shvur, sh'oichal, might mean that he has to eat the whole thing in order to be yotze his shvur, as opposed to sh'loi oichal would mean that once he eats a kezias of it, then it's also. And the Rosh says it like this: when he says a shvur to eat it, then it means the shvur is chal on every kezias. So therefore, he has to eat all the kezias of it in order to be yotze. As we talked about the other day, there can be crumbs left of it. That doesn't prevent the shvur from being fulfilled. But he has to eat every possible kezias of it, as opposed to by shvur shlo yichal. Then it means the other way around: the shvur is on every individual kezias, and therefore he eats even one kezias of it, then already he's over. So therefore, in short, when he says over here a shavur that I will eat this bread, he has to eat the whole thing. And now if he doesn't, then he's over. And he would have to benefit with b'shoyger, he has to bring a korban, and the maize that he would get malchus. And now, therefore, there's no room for him to say a shavur that I won't eat it, because already he's obligated to eat it. So now, ochla, if he eats it, over ashuas shav, so ochla over ashuas shav, so now if he eats it, he's over on ashuas shav, because he said he made a shvur that I won't eat it, and that was a useless shvur, because he was already required to eat it. Loy ochla, and if he doesn't eat it, over ashuas bitui, then he's over on the ashuas bitui, and in either case, either one, if it's b'mezid, he's going to be chayv malchus, the difference will be as far as the korban, where if it's a shvur bitui, he's chayv a korban, and if it's a ashuas shav, he's not. So in our case over here, if he ate it b'shogig, then if he ate it b'shogig, then he will be potter from a korban. But if he did not eat it, then he would be chayev. Then he would be chayev a korban because then he was over on a shavuos vitri. So the Gemara says, as far as the first part of the Mishnah, that we said he makes a shavuah on a stone pillar, that's gold, for example, this means, when is it considered a shavuos shav? Only if at least three people know that what he's saying is false. Otherwise it wouldn't be a shvur shav. Otherwise, it would be a shvur sheker. The Rambam mentions what about a person makes a shvur about scientific facts, which are true or not true, as the case may be, but the common person doesn't know of them. The Rambam understands that shloisha b'nei adam means any random three people you would ask would know this. So the Rambam gives examples. Let's say a person makes a shvur about the size of the sun. So the size of the sun is known to scientists, but it's not known necessarily to the general public. So a person were to make a shvur that the sun is X number of times larger than the earth, which is factual, but it wouldn't be a shvur shav because the average person doesn't know it, and vice versa. If we were to, let's say, make a shvur that the sun is smaller than the earth, it also wouldn't be considered a shvur shav because even though it's not true, the sun is not smaller than the earth, but to our eyes, it looks like it, and therefore you can't say the average person would know that. So it would be a shvur sheker, but not a shvur shav. The Mishnah had said, Nishval Dabashi Efshaloi, if a person makes a Shavua on something impossible. For example, he says, Imloi Ra'isi Goma Perech Ba'aber, if I didn't see a camel flying in the air. So the Gemara says, My Imloi Ra'isi, what do you mean if I didn't see? If he wants to say, the Loshan Imloi Ra'isi is something more appropriate for a neder. A shvur would be, I will or I won't do such and such. Nothing to do with, in other words, if it was a shvur, if he were to say a shvur that I didn't see, then fine. But he was saying, im lo ra'isi, if I didn't see, implying that there's another clause in the sentence, and that belongs more to the category of nedarim. Sabai says, fine, toni shvur sh'ra'isi. Fine, you have to change it. And what the Mishnah meant is he's saying a shvur that I did see it. And then he didn't in fact see it. There's no such thing as a flying camel. The reason why would the Mishnah do that? The Ritva says, Because the Tana doesn't want to, while we're learning the Mishnah, while we're repeating the words of the Mishnah in the Beis Medrash, we don't want to be saying, we don't want to be accidentally saying a Shavuos Shav, so therefore, so the Tana changes the wording in order that even in the course of learning, you're not saying a Shavuos Shav. But in fact, the actual person would be saying, Imra Isi, a shvur, Shera Isi, that in fact I did see a flying camel, and now we're saying that would be a false shvur. Rava Omar, Rava says, no, you don't need to explain it that way. But Omar, the case of the Mishnah would be, he says, Ye Ostru Koperas Shabba Olam Olai, all the Peras in the world will be Ostru on me with a Shavuah, Im Loiro Isi, Goa Perech Ba'aber, if I did not see a flying camel. So in other words, he's saying a loshen of a neder, because you're osu a lie, they will be osu to me, is more of a loshen of a neder. There is in fact discussion among Rishonim about the question of, is it possible to express a shvua as a neder, and such a thing is valid. So from here it seems that yes, but there are different ways of learning about it. In fact, you could say that the Ritva explains that it means that the Shavua is actually that he won't eat any of the Peiros in the world, which is the Loshen of a Shavua. So there is in fact a Machlokas earlier in the Perek, Tosfos, in one place, there's a Tosfos that discusses the point. If in fact a person were to express a shvua as a neder, would such a thing work or not? We talked about differences between nedarim and shvuas, where nedarim are chal on an object and shvuas are chal on the person, and therefore shvuas can be on intangible things and nedarim not, and so forth. And Tosfos discussed the point over there: is it possible? Are they interchangeable to the extent where a person could formulate a shvua in the form of a neder and it would work or not? So over here, we would say either it means he actually said it in a Loshen of a Neder, they will be also to me, and it's still considered a Shvur, or we can say that it means that Rav just means that he's saying in a Loshen of a Shvur, I will be also to eat all the pears. And Tosfos points out that, you know what, it would be a sure shrub, because it's impossible. How could he ask himself, in all the Peiros in the world, that the Peiros includes also, it doesn't just include things like apples and pears and things like that, it also includes grain, for example. What's he going to eat then? So Tosfos discusses further about that, whether in fact if a person were to make such a neder, a shvua, we're saying that it's a useful shvua because what he's making it dependent on, the Gomel HaPerech Ba'aber, doesn't exist. But would such a neder or shvua in fact be able to be chal, where we have, for example, we know that if a person makes a shvua that he won't eat or he won't sleep for 3 days, then we learned before that would be considered a shvua shrub, because it's impossible. So over here also, there's this point over here. Because it would be impossible to do the Isser, because it would be impossible to keep this Isser, so it's considered a Shavuos Shav. So in other words, the point is, it's considered a Shavuos Shav, not just because there's no such thing as a flying camel, but also because the Shavuos itself is impossible to do. And different Rishonim discuss different possibilities about it. So the Ramban explains, in other words, we can say he's most likely not coming to ask himself the pay. If he just wants to say all the payers are also to me, he would just say that. Why is he mentioning the flying camel at all? He obviously wants to use that to uphold something of something that he claims that he saw something impossible, so therefore so it would just be considered a Shavuos Shav. So that's the story. All right. So the Gemara says, Omer l'Ravina l'Ravashi. So Ravina says to Ravashi, why do we consider that a Shavuos Shav? The Duma Hai Gavrit Sipura Rabba Chazi. Maybe this person saw a very, very large bird, the Apikla Shmo Gamla, and he nicknames it a camel because of its size. So now when he's making the Shavuah, Daiti Didei Ishtaba, he's making the Shavuah based on his own das, based on his own understanding. So what's the problem? Why is that a Shavuos Shav? You're going to tell us that no, we just go according to what he said, and we don't care what he thought about it in his mind. And the fact is, there's no such thing as a flying camel. Well, the problem with that is, well, Tanya, we learn in a Braisa Now, later on in our Masechta, we're going to get into the dinim of Shavuos Beistin, of Shavuos HaPikadon, and the other kinds of Shavuos that Beistin beswears a person, and they tell him, the Mishnah says, later in the Masechta, Shemashpiyim Oisai, when they beswear him in Beistin, Oimrim Loi, they tell him, Hevi Yadeya, you should know, Shaloi Abdaitcha Onu Mashpiyim Oisai, we're not beswearing you based on your das, based on your understanding of what the terms of the Shavuos mean, El Aldatenu Val Das Beistin, but rather on our das, and the das are based in. Later on, actually, it's al das amokam, al das based in, which is on the side over here. It says that's how it should be. That's how it should be over here, because otherwise, who are the based in is themselves, the ones beswearing him. So what's dat tenu versus das based in? So it would have to mean really al das amokam, al das based in, similar to the lashon that we used before kol nidre al das amokam, al das akol. Anyway, so. So Ravina asks, my timer, now why would that be necessary? Lav mishum damrinan, wouldn't it be? Because otherwise we have the concern, Dilma is skundri yohiv lev, apikla huzduzi. Because maybe what happens is, what do we have? Reuven is taking Shimon to Beis Din and saying, you owe me $100. And Shimon counterclaims and says, no, I only owe you 50, I paid you 50 already. So maybe, for example, he took, let's say, chips of wood, and he called them coins, and then he gave 50 of those to Reuven. Now when he's swearing, I gave you 50, he's having in mind the 50 chips of wood that he gave him are not actual coins. And therefore, basically, has to tell him, no, the meaning of coins is as we understand it, not as you understand it. So that being the case then, in other words, if Beis Din didn't do that, then it would mean that it would be perfectly fine to construe the Shavuah according to how he thinks. Well, then in that case, by the same logic over here, then why don't we say that Gomel HaPereach doesn't mean an actual camel, it just means a very large bird which I'm nicknaming camel. So Ravashi answers Loi. No, the reason why Beis Din needs to beswear him on their das and on the das of Hashem is not because of different definitions of things, such as, for example, redefining chips of wood as coins, but rather Mishum Kanya de Rava, because of the story of the stick that involves Rava, where the story was that this guy, Shimon owes Reuven money, so he takes the money and puts it inside a walking stick, inside a hollow walking stick, and now when it comes time to do the Shavuah, then he asks Reuven, do me a favor and hold my stick while I take the Sefer Torah to swear on it. And then he swears, I return Reuven the money. And Reuven gets very angry. What do you mean? I know for a fact you didn't return me the money. And in his frustration, he banged the stick on the ground, and all the money, and the stick broke, and all the money went rolling out. So now it turns out the Shavuah was true. At the time he made the Shavuah, he truly had given the money to Reuven, but he gave it to him in a tricky way, where Reuven wouldn't realize, and afterwards he would return him the stick intact. He didn't expect it to break open. So the point is, Ravashi says, that case happened in Rava's Beis Din, and therefore we call it Kanya de Rava. So because of that is why we have to be swearing him al das hamokim, al das based in, to prevent him from doing that kind of thing. So in other words, das hamokim and das based in would be when you say I gave you the money, means I actually gave it to you in a way that you know of, and not, for example, I gave it to you inside a hollow walking stick. But that doesn't show that a person would have the ability, even with a personal shavuah, to redefine chips of wood as coins, or to redefine a very large bird as a camel, not necessarily. So that's the answer so far, that no, a person does not have the ability to redefine his terms unilaterally, and so it is, the Beis Din wouldn't have to be beswearing him, wouldn't have to be taking that into consideration. What they do have to take into consideration is that there was an actual giving, like in this case with the stick, but he gave it to him in a way where the other person doesn't realize that it's been given, and then under normal circumstances he would return it and be none the wiser. Okay. So the Gemara says, Toshma, let's try to bring another proof, whether it's possible for a person to redefine his terms and therefore to make a shvur not be a false shvur or a useless shvur. V'chein matzinu k'sheish b'ya Moshe es Yisrael, so we find when Moshe beswore the Jewish people in Aris Moyav at the end of Chumash Devarim. So the beginning of the Braisa is the beginning of the Braita is talking about the earlier Shavuos that Moshe, it comes from, we talk about when Beis Din swears the person, they tell him al das hamokam, al das Beis Din, and similarly we find Moshe did the same kind of thing when he swore the Jewish people to keep the Torah. So he says, Omalahan, he tells him, Du'u, shaloy al daitzchem, ani mashbiya eschem, you should know I'm not beswearing you on your own das, el al das amokim val daiti. Rather, the meaning of this shvur is going to be construed based on the das of Hashem and on my das. Tosfos actually wonders that what good would the shvur do? The whole point of the shvur is that they won't worship Avodah Zarah or do other Averis. Well, if they're not going to mind doing that, they might not mind breaking the shvur as well. So what's the problem? What's the purpose of the shvur anyway? Why would that make their commitment any stronger? So Mal Shah explains that actually the shvur over here. The shvur over here would actually be the kabbalas haTorah itself, the receiving of the Torah itself. So in other words, the shvur itself is necessary for the receiving of the Torah. If they hadn't taken the shvur, they wouldn't be then later on when they violate the Torah, they wouldn't be punishable at all. So to make it that they're now responsible to keep it and that there are consequences involved for that, there has to be a shvur. With that said, there is the question. There is a question on Marsha about that, because on the face of it, the shvur that the Gemara is talking about over here is the one in Aris Moyav, and this is already 40 years after Matan Torah. So in fact, there's an answer from a Meir Mazul, Zalva Shalom, that the one by Har Sinai didn't necessarily bind future generations, but the one in Aris Moyav, it clearly says that it's binding future generations as well. Asher Yeshnet Poi v'Asher Inenu Poi. So the point is that Moshe is telling them in the Pesukim over there, Loi itchem levadchem, not only with you, but also with your descendants, and Loi itchem levadchem also means not just with you, meaning it's going to be up to the way that you think the Shavuah means, it's rather going to be according to what I understand the Shavuah to mean, and what Hashem understands the Shavuah to mean. Now the question would be, if you're going to tell me that a person anyway can't redefine his terms, so why does he need to do that? All he has to tell them is keep whatever Hashem says and swear on that. So that shows lavish from the maski adatayu avodis kachavim, wouldn't it be? Because otherwise they could redefine. They could have in mind when he tells them keep what God says, what Elikah says, they could be thinking to themselves, what we mean a God as in some other God. So he has to clarify to them that no, I mean the meaning of God is as I and as Hashem know. So wouldn't that show, in other words, that they don't have that they would have had the ability to do that, and therefore Moshe has to foresaw that. Well, in our case then, in the Gomel HaPareach Ba'aver, why can't he say, I've decided that a large bird like that should be called a Gomel? So the answer is like, no, that's not the point. The point is, Avodah Zarah itself is called Elikah. It's not a matter of redefinition. The fact is, the word Elikah includes Avodah Zarah as well. So it wouldn't even be a redefinition. It says, Hashem says, don't make for yourselves gods of silver or gods of gold. So it's not even a matter of redefinition. Without him clarifying that it means listen to what Hashem says, then they could say that it means that if he tells them listen to what God says, okay, well, God, there's many different gods out there, and we can choose any one of them. Tosfos points out, so why doesn't he use the Shem HaMiyuchad? Why doesn't he say, keep what Yud Kei Vav Kei tells you, and then that would work. But actually, Tosfos points out, we're going to learn at the end of the next parak that conceivably there are places in Tanakh where it even uses the name Yud Kei Vav Kei, and it refers to some form of Avodah Zarah. As we're going to see when we get to Daf Lamed Hey, we're going to talk about that. So even using the name Yud Kei Vav Kei wouldn't necessarily help. Okay, so the Gemara says, well, let's go through many other possibilities. V'leimel hu kaimu Torah. Why does he tell them, keep the Torah? The answer is that if he did that, it would mean only chod a Torah. There's only, then they would think. Then they would say, it means they could argue that it means only one Torah. Then you have Torah shebichsav and Torah shebalpeh, so that won't work. What about v'leimel kaimu shtei Torahs? Fine, so let him beswear them that you have to keep the two Torahs. The answer is then they could take that to mean Torah Schatas, Torah Osham. You have many different mitzvahs in the Torah that are described as described as Torah, for example, Chatas and Osham. So keep two Torahs would mean keep two of those groups of mitzvahs, but not necessarily that they're taking on themselves to keep the rest of the mitzvahs. So again, it's not a matter of redefinition, it's a matter of the word Torah inherently is uncertain in meaning, and therefore that's not going to work. All right, why doesn't he tell them, Kaimu kola Torah kola, keep the entire Torah? The answer is, then they would claim Avodas Kechavim. Fine, it means we have to stay away from Avodah Zarah. Fine, Avodah Zarah we know is very serious. A person who denies it is equivalent to accepting the whole Torah and vice versa. So you can't just say keep the whole Torah, and that even the word the whole Torah itself is ambiguous, and it could conceivably mean only Avodah Zarah. All right, the Gemara says v'leim alahu kaimu mitzvah. So fine, wasn't he tell them keep the mitzvah? And that would mean the mitzvahs collectively. So the answer is no, because chod the mitzvah, the word mitzvah, would suggest only one mitzvah. All right, kaimu mitzvois, let him tell them keep mitzvois in the plural. And the answer is that the plural could mean only tauti, could mean only two. Fine, kolam mitzvahs kolam. Well, how about he swears them keep all the mitzvahs? They could argue mitzvah tzitzis, that they could argue that even the word kolam mitzvahs kolam is ambiguous, and maybe it means just the mitzvah of tzitzis. To amamash, kolam mitzvahs tzitzis, kedegan kolam mitzvahs tzitzis is equal in value to all the other mitzvahs. That's why it's gematria 613. So again, you could say, in other words, that as long as there is some inherent uncertainty in the meaning, then it's not even a matter of a person redefining, like we said about the camel and the flying bird. It just means that the word itself has a certain ambiguity to it, and therefore they could use that, and they could exploit that and use that to say that the Shavuah covers only that, which is why Moshe has to tell them that it's Adas Amokam and on my Das. In fact, by the way, Tosfos points out the same way, Avodah Zarah is also equal to all the other mitzvahs. But Beloshen Bnei Adam, when people say Kol HaMitzvahs, they would refer to Tzitzis rather than Avodah Zarah. When we're saying that Avodah Zarah is equal to the whole Torah, that means true, but in Loshen Bnei Adam, which is what Shavuos and Nedarim usually go according to, then to say Kol HaTorah Kola would include Tzitzis. Alright, V'leim Elohu Kaimu Sheishmeres U'Shloish Esri Mitzvahs. By the way, Tosfos points out the parallel Gemara to this in Nedarim explains rather that when he says Kaimu Mitzvahs, they could claim that it means only two mitzvahs, because mitzvahs just means a plural. So the Gemara in Nedarim gives a different explanation, that instead they could claim it means Mitzvahs HaMelech, which would mean, for example, the parasha of the Melech. So in other words, the Melech has a responsibility to keep certain mitzvahs, but we're free and clear. Marashah points out another meaning of Mitzvahs HaMelech can also mean commandments of the king. A human king tells us what to do and what not to do. We'll listen to him. They're not necessarily accepting the mitzvahs of Hashem. So again, kolam mitzvahs kolam, they could construe to mean mitzvah tzitzis. All right, v'leim elohu kaimu sheishmeres u'shloish esri mitzvahs. So why can't Moshe tell them keep the 613 mitzvahs? And now there's no wiggle room in that, because the 613 mitzvahs clearly means the 613 of the Torah. So the Gemara answer is okay, fine, but v'litai meich. But according to your svara, that it depends, that you're saying that the loyal daitchem is just in order to prevent them from redefining anything. You have to ask leimelahu al daiti. It would be enough to tell them that you have to take the shvur on my das. And Moshe himself obviously wants them to keep the actual whole Torah. Al das amokim lomali. Why would he need to mention the point about al das amokim? Even if you're going to say that his purpose, even if you're going to say fine, let's say they do have the ability to redefine terms. They do have the ability to take a word and give it a new meaning, not just to use an existing second meaning of the word, but to actually make up a new meaning. Fine, so al-daiti forestalls that. But why would he need to mention al-das ha-mokim in the first place? A different girsa that somebody showing him have is that why does he have to mention his own das? Why does he have to mention? Why does he have to mention both? Whereas you have to mention both al-das ha-mokim and al-daiti, Rashi is saying, in other words, he could have said just one or the other. The answer must be Obviously, the reason must be in order that then they can't be made through the neder, because once it's aldas of Moshe and aldas of Hashem, so it's aldas rabim. In other words, so now the din is that a neder aldas rabim, you can never be made through. So this way, this prevents that afterwards they're going to go and find a basin to be matter their neder, a corrupt basin to be matter their neder, and then they don't have to keep mitzvahs anymore. So that is why he has to say aldas. But that doesn't show, in other words, that without that, they would have had the ability to redefine their terms. In fact, they would not. But he could have actually formulated the Shavuah in such a way. He could have told them, you have to take the Shavuah. Al-Daiti, but that wouldn't prevent them from being Matur Neder. So now, by saying Al-Das HaMokim prevents them from doing that as well. The Tosfos points out a nafkamina of that lahalocha is that sometimes they make a chayrim in public, al-das hakol, and nevertheless you still have that they're able to be matir when necessary. How does that work? If we're saying a neder al-das rabim, you can never be matir. So Tosfos discusses the point that to begin with, sometimes they make this neder in such a way they leave that loophole open where they could be matir if the das rabim finds it necessary, as opposed to Moshe is not leaving them any loopholes, and therefore that's it. Once we accepted the Torah, then that's it. Then it's binding on us, and we have no way to be matir the shvur. So the bottom line is that, yes, a person does not have the ability to redefine his terms. So when he says, for example, that I saw a gomel apereach, he cannot say afterwards that it meant that I meant a very large bird, which I'm calling a camel. That kind of thing doesn't work. All right. Next, the Mishnah had said, "Im v'im lo ra'isi nachash kekodas ve'sabad." He says another possibility would be a shvur if I didn't see a snake like the beam of an olive press. So, like we said on Oman Aleph, a buyer would understand that to mean that he actually swears that I did see such a thing, which would be a shvur shav. And Rav then says, "No, there's no such thing." And Rav says it means that he made a shvur that he won't eat peiros, that he won't eat any of the peiros in the world, if he saw this, and if he didn't see this, and in fact, therefore, that's a useless shvur, either because it's impossible for him to be also in all the peiros, or because, as the Ramban says, he clearly didn't actually mean to ask him. Well, because either way, because either he can't ask for himself in all the peiros of the world, because it'd be impossible, or because he obviously didn't mean to do that, as the Ramban says. Okay. So the Gemara says, Veloy, so you're telling me not? The Gemara is assuming that when we mean like the beam of an olive press means as far as the size. Well, I can show you there do exist such large snakes. There was a snake, a huge snake in the times of Shabur, the king of Persia. There were three in history, there were three different kings of Persia named Shabur, one in the times of Rav and Shmuel, one in the times of Rava, and a third one in the times of Ravashi. But which one over here doesn't say, but in the times of one of them, there was a very large snake. The snake was able to swallow 13 stables full of straw. So Rashi describes the snake was swallowing and eating people. So what they did is they made bundles of straw and they put animal carcasses inside the straw. And then they put burning coals inside the carcasses. So now the snake is going to be looking. It's going to smell the carcasses. It's going to want to eat them. So it's going to eat the straw. It's going to eat through the straw to eat the carcasses. And eventually, then it's going to get to the coals. And eventually, it'll swallow the coals and they'll burn it from the inside. It took 13 bundles like that before they were able to kill the snake. There's a couple of different versions of exactly what it was, and there are different girsos. It actually brings another girsa instead of urvasa, is aridasa, which is another word for bundles, and there's a couple of different other explanations of Rishonim, what exactly the snake was doing. But in other words, the point there was it was a very gigantic snake. So yes, you could have a snake the size of a kodesh beis haban. The answer is Omar Shmuel b'toruf. Shmuel says, we're not talking about the size of the snake. We're saying that he saw a snake that was toruf. So to say, what is toruf? Rashi explains that the beam of an olive press has grooves in it. You don't want it to be a smooth beam because you want it to be able to crush the olives effectively. So it's going to be grooved. So in this case, the person is saying that he saw a snake that has a grooved or spotted back. And such things don't exist. So there's a different explanation based on a number of Rishonim based on the Yerushalmi that explain that Toruf means that so wait a second. So someone asks, so Kulanami Mitzvah Trifin, what do you mean many snakes are Trifin? They have spots or grooves or whatever. And the answer is Bishagaba Toruf. We're talking about the back of it being Toruf, and such a thing you don't happen. Usually you have the side that's Toruf is going to be the underside of the snake. That's according to Rashi's explanation, that Toruf means spotted. So spotted or grooved or whatever. You're going to find the grooves on the underside of the snake, but not usually not on the back of it. And therefore, the back of it is an impossible thing for him to say. A number of Rishonim bring a point from the Yerushalmi that Toruf means squared off. The Yerushalmi has an expression, Ein Meruba Mishesh's Mebreshis. There's nothing that Hashem created that's naturally square. So therefore, so now the snake, he saw a snake with a squared off back, and there's no such thing. So now the answer is that yes, you do have on the underside, it can be squared off, but not on the back. The back is going to be rounded. The Tosfos also brings from the relevant Gemara in Nedarim that says the Mishnah, by the way, wants to inform us that a Kodesh Beis Chabad is supposed to be Toruf, and therefore that if a person sells somebody else a beam and says this is a beam of an olive press, then it has to be Toruf, however we define Toruf. Okay. Fine. Now, the Mishnah said, you have a case where a person says, Shvur sha'ichol kikuzu, shvur sha'loy echlana, a shvur that I will eat this loaf, and then a shvur that I won't eat it. So we said that then you have a problem, because you have a shvur's bitui versus a shvur's shav. So the Gemara asks, why, if he doesn't eat it, hashtem mishum shvur's bitui mechayev, if he's chayev because of the shvur's bitui, because he swore that he's going to eat it, and he doesn't eat it. Mishum shvuas shav loy mechayev. Why should he not be chayev for shvuas shav as well? Hare yotze shvua lashav. When he made the second shvua that I won't eat it, it was a useless shvua because it contradicts the first one. So therefore, he should in fact be chayev for both shvuas. So the answer is Amar Rabbi Yemiya Tony Af Al Shvuas Bitui. You're right. You have to fix up the word of the Mishnah, the wording of the Mishnah, and say that if he eats it, then he is. So if he eats it, he's over only on the Shvuas Shav. But if he doesn't eat it, he is in fact over on both of them. He failed to do the Shvuas Bitui, and that he did a Shvuas Shav to begin with. So in other words, one way or the other, he's going to be over on the one way or the other, he's going to be chayev for the Shvuas Shav. But if he doesn't eat it, then in addition, he's also chayev for the shvuas bitui because he made a shvur to eat it. Okay. Mishnah says, shvuas bitui, here that we've been talking about throughout the perek, about shvuas bitui, neheges ba'anoshim of anoshim. Now, unlike shvuas ha'edris, which we're going to learn in the next perek, which has limitations on who it applies to, because it applies only to people who are kosher ba'edris, here, when it comes to shvuas bitui, there's no such limitations. Neheges ba'anoshim of anoshim, it applies to men and women, v'krovim erachlekim, relatives or non-relatives. So in other words, the point is, when it comes to Shavuos Ha'edus, so for example, you have, let's say, Reuven lent Shimon money, and Rochel was watching, and Rochel is Posel Ha'edus. So now, if Reuven goes over to Rochel, and let's say Rochel and Leah together, two women, and tells them, I know you watched me lend this money to Shimon, come say Ha'edus for me on Beis Din, and they swear, we don't know that Ha'edus, then they would be Potter from Shavuos Ha'edus, because they're anyway Posel Ha'edus, even if they did come to Beis Din, we wouldn't hear their Ha'edus. So therefore, so they're potter from Shavuos Ha'edus. The Mishnah wants us to know over here that Shavuos Bitui is not like that. Women are equally chayv in Shavuos Bitui as men. Similarly, Rechoykim and Krogim. So let's say I'm going to give money to Pliny. It doesn't matter whether Pliny is a relative or not, because either way, it's a Shavuos Bitui. Again, as opposed to Ha'edus, where if he goes over to relatives of his or of the other Baal Din and says, I want you to give Ha'edus on my behalf, and they swear falsely that they don't know, then there's no Shavuos Ha'edus because they're anyway possible Ha'edus in this case. Similarly, continues our Mishnah, b'fnei Beis Din, v'shaloi b'fnei Beis Din. It would also be whether in the presence of Beis Din or not, unlike Shavuos Ha'edus and Shavuos HaPikadon and the rest of the Shavuos that we're going to talk about in the Masechta. Mipi Atzmai, and it applies, the Shavuos Bitu would be, when he swears on his own, in other words, as opposed to when Beis Din beswears him. So, and the Mishnah continues, Chayovin al Zdona Malkus. Now, if a person is over on a Shavuos Bitu B'mezid, then he's Chayiv Malkus. Val Shigigas a Korban Ola B'yodin. If he does B'shogig, then he's Chayiv a Korban Ola B'yodin, as we've been learning throughout the Perek. Now, continues the Mishnah. So on the other hand, Shavuos Shav, so that was as far as a Shavuos Bitu. On the other hand, a Shavuos Shav, like the kind of Shavuos Shav that we were talking about before, let's say swearing on a stone pillar that's gold or something like that, so there it's different. Also, Nehegas Ba'anoshim of Anoshim, it applies to men and women, but a Choytim of a Krovim, relatives or non-relatives. Non-relatives or relatives, the Kshedron of Psulin, whether the kosher, I skipped in the previous part, also the Kshedron of Psulin, whether the kosher la'edus or posel la'edus, so here also the Kshedron of Psulin, b'fnei beis din or shalai b'fnei beis din, whether it's in the presence of beis din or not, or he atzmai, and also when he himself says the shvur, fine. But the difference is, v'chayoven al zayin ha'makas, shashu gosa potter. The difference is that with a shvur shav, he'll still be chayav malchus. If he says a shvur shav amazed, but if he says it b'shoigig, then he's potter, because the whole concept of a korban or the yared is mentioned only in connection with Shavuos Bitu. The Mishnah continues, achazu v'achazu. Now, whether it comes to a Shavuos Bitu or a Shavuos Shav, hamushvim piacherim chayev, if other people beswear him, now here the Mishnah had said, piatzmo, that he makes the Shavu on his own, but you should know, the Mishnah says it's possible for him to also be chayev without saying the Shavua by himself, but rather by saying Omen. If he's be sworn by other people, then he be chayev. For example, im lo yachalti hayom. For example, he says, if I didn't eat today. Now, as we learned on Amud Aleph, im would actually have to do with a neder. So it would have to mean then we'd have to say, like we said on Amud Aleph, that it would mean, for example, that Peros should be also to me if I didn't eat today, for example, without the im, which is in parenthesis over here. It would just mean that he swears straight out, lo yachalti hayom, I didn't eat today. Or he says, swears, for example, I didn't put on tefillin today. Mashbiahani, and the other person says, I am swearing you to hold you to what you said. V'oma omen, and the first person says chayev. So he says omen chayev. So now he's chayev because saying omen is the equivalent of saying a shavur. So in other words, basically, Shavuos Bitui and Shavuos Shav are very similar in many ways, but the key difference is as far as the chiyuv of a korban. All right. So the Gemara says, Omer Shmuel, here talking about this last part about Omen, Kola Ona Omen, Acha Shavuah, Kamotzi Shavuah Mepiv Dami. When a person answers Amen after somebody else's Shavua, is the equivalent of him saying the Shavua himself. And we know that by the Sota, because the Kohen beswears her, V'omra Isha Amen Amen, and she answers Amen Amen, and that, with that, she's taking the Shavua on herself, and that results in that now if she is guilty, and then after drinking the Sota water, then she dies. Otherwise, in other words, if it hadn't been for that, so Rashi explains later in the Masechta, the point is, if Omen didn't have that effect, then it wouldn't be considered, then how would the Mei Sota work? She never said anything, Now the difference is, when we're talking about Shavuos HaEdus, is the person comes to the Edim and says, I want you to testify on my behalf, and they swear that they don't know the Edus, then they're Chayev. But over here, when he says, if you didn't commit adultery, etc., etc., but if you committed adultery, etc., if she doesn't answer, then the shvur wouldn't be able to take effect. So we see, therefore, that saying Amen causes it to take effect. And Omer Papa Mishmeidir Ovim Asnisin Ubraisa Nami Deka. In fact, we can see that from the wording of the Mishnah, of our Mishnah, and of Ubraisa. Dikatoni, we said Shavuos HaEdus Neheges Ba'anoshim V'loi B'noshim, or not our Mishnah, but the beginning of the next Perek. Dikatoni, the next Perek begins. Shavuos HaEdus Neheges Ba'anoshim V'loi B'noshim. The Shavuos HaEdus applies only to men and not to women, because women are possible to give Edus in Beis Din. Tosfos mentions, interestingly, the point over here that women are also possible to serve as dayonim, but we have the exception of Devoto, who served as a dayan, and Tosfos gives over here and in other places in Shas a few different answers how that could be. Maybe she was only teaching them the dinim and not actually judges, maybe because she was a neviah. One point is also Rishonim and bring up the point. What about, for example, you can have there are a few cases where women's edus is women's edus is acceptable and based in. For example, edus in connection with a soita, edus that she was in fact mizana, or edus that her husband died. So would shvuasa edus apply to them? So the Akiva edus says that no, shvuasa edus still wouldn't apply. Because the fact is they're basically possible edus, so therefore, so it's just a matter of they have nemonos, they're trustworthy, but not necessarily that they're not actually called edim per se, and therefore the concept of edus doesn't apply to them. So the Mishnah says there, the next Mishnah, the beginning of the next letter, says that shvuasa edus applies only to men, not to women, but a choikim b'levikrovim, it applies only to non-relatives, but not to relatives, because relatives can't give edus anyway. But kshedin v'lebe psulin, it applies only to people who are kosher l'edus, not people who are posel l'edus. V'einin heges ela b'ruin l'hoid, it applies only to those who are suitable to give edus in beis din. And then the Gemara will learn on daf lamed aleph what that's coming. The Gemara is going to explain that comes to exclude a king, a melech yisrael, as we're going to learn on daf lamed aleph, as we learn the Sanhedrin is not able to give edus in beis din. So therefore, so we mean he's not a posel, he's not a relative or anything like that, but nevertheless he can't give edus for a different reason, as we'll talk about there. So shvuasa edus wouldn't apply to him. I don't know, this person comes over to the king and says, I know you washed when I lent this money to Shimon, will you come say edus on my behalf? And the king swears and says, I don't know this edus. He would be potter from shvuasa edus because he anyway can't come and testify in beis din. That Mishnah continues that the shvuasa edus applies whether it's in beis din or outside of beis din. If he says the shvur by himself, on the other hand, when somebody else beswears him, then that would apply only if then would he be chayav for shvuasa edus. He'd be chayav the korban only if. Only if he denies it in beis din, dibur a mayor. That's what a mayor says, that it has to be that the denial takes place in beis din, as we'll see in the next parak why that is. So dibur a mayor, that's what a mayor says. So now we learn in a braisa, on the other hand, that seems to say something different. Shvuasa edus, what's the case where a person is chayev for shvuasa edus, ketzad? Omala edim boyu v'hayiduni, he says to the edim, come and testify on my behalf. They answer, shvur she'en onu yodin l'cha edus, we swear that we don't know any edus for you. Oisha omru ein onu yodin l'cha edus, or they just say, without a shvur, we don't know edus. And he says, mashdiyani aleichem, I'm beswearing you on that. V'omruloi omen, and the answer omen. Bein b'fnei beistin, bein shaloi b'fnei beistin, whether it's in the presence of beistin or not. Bein m'pi atzmoi, bein m'pi acherim, whether they made the shvua on their own or whether they're answering to somebody else. Kivin shekofru behem, once they deny, chayovin, then they're chayav. Divir a meir. So now the problem is kashin adodi. So now the Mishnah and versus the Braisa, the mayor is contradicting himself, because in the Mishnah, the mayor is saying that they're chayav only if it was in beistin. And the Braisa is saying, even if it's outside of beis din. Ela lav shmamina, so, says Rav Papa, in the name of Rava, that we must, in order to reconcile the Mishnah and the Braisa, we can see the answer must be like what Shmuel said. Hod ona amen, hod le ona amen. One case is talking about where he answered amen, and the other one is where he did not. So if he didn't answer amen, then if he didn't answer amen, so then it would have to be in beis din. But if he answered amen, it wouldn't matter. It could be either way, in or out of beis din. It would work. So therefore, so we see that answering amen is tantamount to making a shavua himself. So that's as far as the Mishnah. So we see from this Mishnah and the Braisa, by putting them together and contrasting them one with the other, we see this din that in fact a person. That if a person answers amen, it's the equivalent of saying a shvur. So the Gemara continues. Amar Ravina, Mishmei de Rav, Masnisin de Hochanami Deka. Our Mishnah also, you can see from it clearly, like what Shmuel says. The Katani Shvus Bitu Nehegas Ba'anoshim of Anoshim, Berachoykim of Kred Makrim of Sulin, Bifne Basin Shalai Bifne Basin. So it applies across the board, men, women, relatives, non-relatives, Kred and Sulin, in front of Basin, not in front of Basin. Vipi Asmai, but if he swore on his own, and the implication would be so it sounds like we're saying that if somebody else beswears him, then he would be potter. Vikatoni Sefer, but then the Sefer of our Mishnah continues, Zevazeh, in both cases, Mushlim Piacherim Chayev, if he's besworn by others, he's Chayev, Tashan Adadi. So again, it would be self-contradictory. Is he Chayev when he, when somebody else beswore him or not? Elalav Shmamina Hodda Ana Amen, Hoddalai Ana Amen. So therefore, so it must be one's talking about, we said Amen, and the other one's not. Well, the question is, now that we know that fakir, the question is, then what's Shmuel's Chiddush? If we can see it clearly from the case of Shavuos Ha'edus and the case of our Mishnah, then why does Shmuel even have to mention it? So, Ve'ela Shmuel, my Kamash Malon. So what is Shmuel coming to tell us? And the answer is exactly that. Duk Yidimas Nisin, Kamash Malon, Shmuel wants to tell us exactly that. To be medayek that point from the Mishnah, the very fact that the Mishnah, that the two parts of the Mishnah contradict one another, and you shouldn't think that maybe it's just Urcha de Milsa Katani. The Mishnah is just mentioning the typical kind of case where one, where a person says a shvu on his own versus a case where typically when somebody else says to you, I'd be swearing you such and such, you would answer Amen, but the Shmuel wants to tell you it's not just the typical way that people act. There is actually an importance to that. Without his saying Amen, the shvu will not be chal.
Yes, you can.